Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, and yes, indeed, you're listening to us this morning. Today's Thursday, February 25th. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey.
We have beautiful weather outside. Of course, we have no such thing as winter here.
I know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so much for the winter for us, so much for El Nino that they predicted with days of heavy rains and everything.
I know.
No, it just seems to be something hovering over LA that's pushing the weather away.
Yeah.
You know, it's keeping it from coming here. I don't know. I'm starting to believe that.
Divine intervention.
There you go. California is doomed for drought, you know? What can you do?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we have a special guest in the studio, and we'll get to her in just a moment. Anything new, Kelsey, to report? Anything in your life that's exciting? You doing more videos?
Yes, always working.
There's
always
no end to those videos,
oh,
huh?
There's no end.
Wow.
You know, I'm on this soap opera that I do the English dubbing for, so that's
right.
Really fun. I'm actually going to that after this, and it's hilarious.
That's got to be an interesting job, huh?
It's a fun job because, you know, it's a telenovela in Spanish, and they're just, like, so insane to begin with. My character is actually the more mellow one. The soap opera is called Piel Salvaje, and I play Yelly, or Shelly, the English version.
Yelly?
I know, her name is Yelly. I guess that's what they say in Spanish.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Funny.
I know, but it's bizarre because, like, the English version airs in South Africa. Apparently, it's really popular over there, and so.
Really? In South Africa?
Yeah.
So that's what you do the English translation for?
Right.
Oh, wow,
right.
How interesting.
I know. So, yeah, the studio's in Glendale, so that's not very fun because it's quite a drive, but I try to schedule it like after this because it's kind of on the way.
Right.
Your teeth look really good.
Really? Thank you. You noticed them?
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You noticed my teeth different. You're the first one who noticed it.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with teeth.
Yeah, you are.
It's like
this
weird obsession. I brush mine like 10 times a day.
I know. I know, and I floss too and everything, but, you know, I grind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So my teeth eventually, like, just crumble, you know, and they break. So I had to fix a few teeth and stuff, and I'm still going over some teeth, but yeah, I had to do veneers on the front.
They look great.
They look perfect,
yeah,
right?
He did a good job.
Yeah,
whoever you're doing.
Yeah, it's a he. And, you know, obviously they don't make it too white. There's like Hollywood white, and you don't want that. That's too much.
Right. Then it's just really distracting.
So they just made it a little wider and everything than I had it before because I'm a smoker. My teeth get, they're not as white as they used to be.
Sure.
So, so this is it. But thanks for noticing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool. I know. I'm proud of my smile now.
Good.
There you
good.
Go. Yeah. Because my teeth have really worn down over the years, you know. And when you grind and you...
It happens.
Yeah. It like literally files down the tooth, you know.
Mm-hmm. And now, do you wear like a mouth guard or something?
I have, but it doesn't seem to help because I'll tell you what. You wear it at night, but I grind all day.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, all the time I clench and I grind. So, yeah, and it's hard to stop it, you know.
And you catch yourself doing it and you try to stop it. It's just an instinctive
right, exactly. thing. But I figured, you know, what the hell? My teeth lasted for 50 years. I'll, you know, hopefully the new ones will last 50 years too and everybody will be fine, you know. Yeah. I see Casey's looking for, I think he's looking for keys, but no, he's not.
He's
not coming in. No, I think he went to get water, actually.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah. Well, they did
Casey's
a good job.
Casey's our attendant here at the parking, and he's really cool.
He is cool. Sometimes he's not there, and we have to drop off our cars, and it's like...
He's not looking here, so he doesn't need the keys, I guess, right?
I think he does. He's pointing to me, like I'm the
so
culprit.
Tell him to come in. Just point to him to come in. Yeah.
Whatever.
He doesn't need them.
It'll survive.
That's
like,
funny, right?
What do you do?
But yeah, I mean, sometimes you get to the parking and there's no spot. So we have to take the keys with us and then we give it to him.
Right.
Hi, Casey.
There we go. Thanks. yeah, well, I think that that's great. Like, why not get veneers if it's going to make your confidence better and your
Yeah, and not just that, but I mean, the teeth were literally, I mean, if I waited any longer, I might lose a front tooth.
No, exactly.
And then it's going to, you can't leave the house. There's no way. Right?
I know.
So I had to prevent it, yeah. But some people get crowns on the front, and it looks terrible, right?
No, it looks
like chiclets and stuff, you know?
Don't do that.
They're
yeah.
really big, and they don't look natural.
No.
So veneers are not as strong, but they look a lot better.
Yeah, I definitely yeah. go that route.
Yeah. So, well, thanks again for yeah. noticing my teeth. I feel a lot better, too. A couple things I wanted to bring up were... I did want to say I kind of like want to start getting involved with like I posted about it. People haven't given me great ideas. I want to get involved in helping the homeless and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so because I did bring it up, you know, I ran into somebody here downstairs and I just felt my heart went out to her. She was a woman.
I remember that.
Yeah, a hopeless young woman and nothing to her. So I've been thinking a lot about it, you know, and I'm thinking. You know, most of them are mental illness. You know, it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be because it doesn't matter how lazy you are, whatever, you're going to manage something, you know.
Right.
Go wash dishes, I don't know, do whatever, but make a little money to have some food or something, you know. Share an apartment with 3-4 people, something, you know.
Right.
Where you only need a few $100 a month. But I think when you're mentally ill, you don't even think about these things.
No.
Some people say, oh, they prefer to stay that way. Well, maybe they do. They don't know any better.
Maybe.
You know?
I mean, you know, they say that about jail, too.
Yeah.
That, you know, sometimes people would just prefer to go back.
Right, exactly.
That's all they know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's sort of like their comfort zone. They don't know how they would deal
yeah.
with the real world. But, yeah, I was just looking for ideas. I don't know how. It's not just like going and feeding them or giving them some money. It's about how do we solve the problem, you know? So I want to get involved in this, talk to people who are already involved in it
mm-hmm.
and see what I can do.
Yeah, you know? I think getting down to the root of the problem is going to be the most advantageous
yeah.
when it comes to actually fixing the problem, because there are reasons, and I agree. I think it's primarily mental illness. I mean, I'm no expert on the homeless or the reasons for such a massive homeless population, but if you just observe,
mm-hmm.
that seems to be the
case,
problem.
Right, yeah. I know. And, you know, obviously we're not going to solve all the problems in the world, but if we can save a few souls, I mean, you know, that would be important to me because, you know, you think we're all the same. I mean, we're all the same people,
mm-hmm.
The same race, the same everything, the human race. And, you know, and then you see people getting involved with animals and stuff, which is noble too. But I think we got to help people first.
Right. You know, it's kind of a place close to my heart as well because I did a story in college. I was in journalism school and I did a story on the homeless, actually.
Really?
And so, yeah, it was kind of a funny story because I literally had, it was due that day, the story, like filmed, edited everything, and I hadn't done anything. I know. And it was one of those like, oh shit moments.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, there are two choices here. Either I can find something or I can just drive to the bar.
Yeah, and not think about it. Right?
I know. And ironically, on my way to the bar, I passed like the Methodist church, I believe. Uh-huh. And, you know, I grew up Methodist and I am Methodist. And I, you know, saw the homeless lined up outside to get food and shelter. You know, they have like a little homeless shelter. And I ended up doing it on women because that in particular was a women's shelter, and the story was about how like they're the largest part of the fastest growing part of the homeless population, women.
Really?
And they're like no shelters for them.
Really?
Yeah, because you can't. I don't know now. That was
yeah.
a few years. I'll date myself, shelter, but that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, most people are men who are homeless.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And that's generally
the
what
case.
We see.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But back at that time in like 2012 or something, it the women homeless population was growing like rapidly, and so they were having a hard time like finding places to put them because you can't house them with men,
right?
You know,
or like, I mean, they have shelters for battered women, but you probably don't want to put them there, right? If you're homeless,
I don't know. I'm not sure what the rules are there, but yeah, it was sad. And going back to the whole root of the issue, the whole homeless. Mental illness thing. That's true, but in some cases it's not. And really? I met this girl who was 24. I was 22 at the time.
Wow.
And she was 24 years old. They had just had the big Bastrop fires. Do you remember those fires in Texas?
I do not, no.
Well, her house had burned down. Wow. and everything. And yeah, she was homeless. And it was, kind of a hopefully a temporary situation.
Right.
But especially in those cases, I mean, goodness, like she was trying her hardest and she couldn't even like get a shower to go to a job interview.
Yeah. I know. So they can't afford clothes.
Right. So it's like, how are you supposed to dig yourself out of that hole? Like with no help.
Right. And nobody wants to help. I mean, people just ignore homeless people,
Yeah.
And we ignore them. They just sit on the sidewalk and we keep going and you have to wonder what's going on in their minds, But
right.
It's a very sad situation. But at any rate, I just want to bring up the awareness of this so people will think about it sometimes, Mm-hmm. If nothing else, just think about it. Maybe it'll drive you to action or something. But I need to find some time to get involved with that. I really do.
Yeah, be good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our guest right now who's sitting here patiently, hopefully interested in what we have to say.
Yes.
We have Simone Emmons in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Glad to be here.
Yes, and we met here at the station a couple weeks ago. She was on another show.
Okay.
And she does interesting things. You originally from where?
I'm originally from West Berlin, Germany. So
really?
I grew up there when the war was still up.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, what an experience.
I've been here now 28 years.
Oh, really? So you've been here a while. When did you leave? Like after the wall fell, pretty much?
No, before already.
Before?
I had that was met 89, a soldier in Germany.
Oh, really? What, an American soldier?
Exactly.
Wow.
Somebody from Los Angeles.
Really? And you followed him?
I did, because he always wanted to be a policeman, and he could only do that here. So.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you. I mean, many times women move because, well, men do, too.
I was happy,
they move
too.
Before somebody else. Yeah.
Actually, he was saying, if you marry me, you never need to see the snow again. That's
true.
I'm coming.
Yeah. The hell with Berlin.
Right? Oh, my gosh. No, thank you. Good choice.
Yeah. What was it like growing up in West Germany? I mean, you guys didn't really feel,
right.
It's not like the East side. I mean,
exactly.
It was split, but you guys were the West.
Yeah, even though we had the wall around, it just never felt like I was in a prison or anything like this. We had the freedom. So it was the East, the people from the East, they felt, probably they couldn't go anywhere and they felt restricted. But we never felt restricted. But whenever I had to travel out of Berlin, we always had to have our passport there with us and in order to drive through the East.
Right.
Because that's how
because
it was.
Because it's sort of like Berlin is sort of an island within what was the Soviet-controlled area, right?
Well, the four militaries were there.
Right.
The Russians, the British, the American, and the French.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Yes. So I always used to meet French military men or American or British. We had them all over there at that time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how did you meet the guy?
Dancing.
Really? So he was like off.
Well, all the soldiers, they used to go out all the time, right? Uh-huh. On the weekend. And then, Berlin is just such a big city.
Yeah.
You meet them everywhere. And I actually loved it.
Yeah.
I met sometimes some French soldiers and I learned French.
Oh, how fun.
Yes. And I remember even when I met my husband and some of the others, even though we learn English in Germany, I always had a dictionary with me.
Yeah.
Because if I couldn't communicate myself, I said, okay, wait a minute, let me look for the word. Right.
But at least you were trying,
I was trying.
Some people won't even try to learn a language,
I was challenged by that and I liked it.
Yeah?
Yes.
You probably knew English before that, though,
I said, we learned it in school. No, we learned it actually in school. It's a requirement.
What grade do you have to start?
Actually, very young, at sixth grade.
Yeah, sixth grade. Mm-hmm. That's about what it's like in Israel. Fifth, sixth grade, we had to start learning English, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's good. So you knew pretty much.
But when I got out of school, there were like 2 years that I didn't have it anymore.
Right.
So in those 2 years, if you don't use it,
you forget.
Right, you forget.
You lose it.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And that's why I needed my dictionary.
Right.
And then also, you know, when you learn it in school and you really don't have anybody to communicate with.
Right. It's different.
You are not great at it.
Right.
You just know words.
Right.
And maybe sentences, but it's not perfect.
Right. Right. No, it's far from perfect, you know, and then you have to work on your accent. I mean, you see me 50 years later, I still have my accent too. Yeah,
right?
I know. So it usually depends on what age you start speaking the foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
When people, I think the cutoff is around the age of 12 or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you start a new language at the age of 12, like people that would come from your country, my country, mm-hmm. at the age of 12, they probably sound like they're American, you know, but after that, it's sort of like, I mean, it's
that's
a generalization.
Really interesting. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, some people come here older and they speak perfectly, you know, but what I'm happy about is my English is more than perfect. It's just that, okay, so I sound foreign, you know, but then I was thinking, but people that come from other English speaking countries with an accent, they also get bothered all the time. Where are you from? Where are you from?
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
So every accent is going to solicit that
like
kind of response.
Accent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. But I think the people that have them don't, right? I mean, do you like that?
Right.
You have
I've always had kind of like a hiccup about it.
Right.
I always wanted to perfect it.
Because you want to blend in,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
When you don't I want first people to ask here, you, where, you
yes,
where you're from.
And also, English wise, I remember when I first came here, I told everybody, please correct me if I'm saying something wrong, because if I don't know.
Exactly.
And I'm learning the wrong way.
So correct me, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and don't take it as an offense.
Right, I didn't.
Yeah.
I wanted to be corrected because I wanted to consciously work on becoming perfect.
Right. And you're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
I know that
I still have a few things here and there. Like sometimes I say things and then I think later on, I wish I would have said it a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then again, people don't really care. You know, it's just us that see that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know, and besides, it's also more important, I think, to understand than to actually speak, you know, because you want to know what's going on around you. So I think that comes first, understanding before talking.
Yes.
So, but regardless, yeah. And for me also, my English was actually pretty good when I came here at 16 because I had, I had about 7 years maybe of English or something. And no, not 7 years, more like four.
Mm-hmm.
But I also would read like Mad Magazine. I would learn the slang and stuff. That was really cool.
Oh my
gosh. And of course, American music and movies and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what appeals to a lot of people. I think that's why a lot of people, they grow up on this culture and they're like, I got to go to America. This is beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what happens, you know, and people come here in droves, and it's a great thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as long as people can do so legally and blend in, you know, that's what you want to do is blend in. And some people come here, they do the exact opposite, you know. They keep themselves walled off from everybody else, and they don't assimilate, and then you have problems, you know. So they feel like outsiders all the time. Yeah. So you followed your husband or your
ex-husband. Because I'm
divorced. Or your future husband. He was future husband at the time.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get married here, right?
No, I was actually married in Columbus, Georgia, because he was got stationed then over there.
Oh, okay.
Georgia.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
But in the United States,
a little military town, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Cool. And how long were you married for?
5 years.
5 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, and then you decided you're going to go off on your own, right?
Well, and had no other choice, right?
Yeah, right?
It was hard at first, let me tell you, because, you know, as a single woman, and I was very young, I was age 25.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
So, yeah,
when you were divorced?
I came here young, at 20.
Wait,
so you got married at 20?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and then I felt a little bit alone and left alone, and I didn't know anybody. And that's usually, I think, that happens to a lot of people who come here from other countries, they follow maybe a man.
Right.
And then when they do get divorced, and they dedicate themselves to the husband, right? And then they feel later on alone and they don't know what to do or how to do.
Right.
And that was a challenge for me because I was like, wow, I really have to get out there and make friends. And I didn't know how to do it, and I pushed myself.
Wow.
I actually took dancing lessons, so that's...
Really?
Yes, that's how I went out there.
So you can connect with guys and stuff? Or
well, no, just a social circle.
Oh, so you can make friends.
Yeah, so I can make friends. My hobby was salsa dancing.
Oh, really? How fun! Is your whole family back in Germany?
Everybody's in Germany. Oh. Yes, my brothers, my mother, my father.
Right, but you found your home here, obviously.
Oh, yes. Like I said, I mean, I really love the weather here. Uh-huh. It makes me happy. And,
yeah.
You know, Germany is kind of cloudy all the time and cold. And
cold, I know. Just,
it's not for me.
No, huh? You know? And it's funny because people grow up in that, but they don't get used to it, right?
Used to it, but I hate it every season.
Really?
Like come October when it starts getting cold and rainy. And
yeah. How cold does it get in Berlin? Like below zero?
Oh, yes.
A lot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, and then even in the summertime,
yeah.
You have maybe a few days really nice and warm and the sun comes out, but then it gets cloudy again.
Oh, wow.
And that's how we see, I think they can kind of compare it to Portland, because Portland is a little bit like that too.
Right.
So,
wow.
I like Los Angeles.
Yeah. So imagine just growing up, hardly ever seeing the sun, you know, it's gotta be like depressing as hell.
And I think that's kind of what a lot of people, it affects them mentally.
Right.
And I think that's what it did to me. And then, you know, here in Los Angeles, when the sun is out all the time, I feel like I'm always happy.
Yeah.
But hey, good, your skin looks great.
Thank you.
So that is
good. Because in a way, I stay out of the sun because you see how pale I am.
I'm so pale too.
Yes, you are. But
I'm on the fast track to have good skin.
I can fix that.
Yeah, you see, and that's why she's here. She's going to tell us a little bit about what she does.
I'm the perfect candidate. I actually should be your before and after model because I am like white.
Yes, yes. I look, when you first came in, I saw you. I was like, great candidate.
Yeah, she's a king candidate. So tell us what it is that you do, Simone.
I do airbrush tanning.
Airbrush tanning. Yes. Tell us what that is.
Fake tanning.
Fake tan.
Yes. So basically, you know about self-tanning creams, correct?
Right,
and
right.
That's been on the market since 1960. And so, you know, people or companies were trying to find other ways on how to apply it.
Uh-huh.
And years ago, I think they started originally with like the single action or dual action airbrush, which you can also apply makeup with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it started. But then I don't know who came up with it. But later on, they learned how to use the spray guns.
Right.
And the spray guns you usually use in the painting industry.
Yeah.
So whoever came up with that did a great job because... What's the great part about the spray guns is it has a lot of pressure.
Mm.
And then also, you know, the self-tanning creams they made in liquid version, basically based on water first. And then they put this magic ingredient in there, which is dehydroxyacetone. That's the part that makes you tanned.
I see.
So, yes, they made it in liquid version so that we would either be able to use the dual action airbrush or the HVLP spray guns. Now, I use the spray guns because it's a perfect application. When you spray a body with that, it looks perfect.
Really? So I imagine it's a lot like painting, you know? I mean, you got to make an even application of it and everything, right?
Evenness is the most important thing. But that's where the gun helps you. But also not all guns are really that great.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the majority of the people usually don't know. And that's basically also what I teach. I have my own academy, Hollywood Airbrush Tanning Academy.
Wow.
Where I teach everyone spray tanning, but not just spray tanning, also it's kind of like an entrepreneurial program.
Right.
Mm. Because I started my business a few years ago, or many years ago, and saw a need to teach, basically, because there was nobody out there teaching it. Even I, myself, I taught myself, and it took me a few years to really become great with that tool, with the HVLP spray gun. And the reason is it took me a while because there was no training out there.
Right.
And I had to figure it out. So I needed a lot of models. I had a lot of friends. And they loved me at that time because I gave them all free spray tans.
Right.
And I was always trying to perfect it, right? Each time I was like asking everybody, okay, so what else is missing? What else is wrong? And you know, and that's kind of how you learn.
Yeah.
And then I learned it. And then I said, oh, you know what? There's no training out there. And I foresee that one day everybody will be doing fake tanning.
Really?
Yes, because, yeah, you know, it saves our skin.
Right, that's true.
And you can see how nice my skin looks, right? Like, I don't go in the sun.
You don't go in the sun.
I used to when I was younger, right? But yeah, then I realized I did use tanning beds. And then also I realized, wow, I was trying to use tanning beds more and more and more, and I still didn't get darker.
Really?
Yeah, because it has
you just get like red or something, or what?
Yeah, I kind of like just a slight tint, right? And I was trying to force it and force it, and I was trying to go more and more. And you know what I noticed? That I was getting wrinkles here.
Wow.
Actually, a boyfriend at that time told me that. Uh-huh. He was saying, you know what? Look, you're already getting wrinkles.
Oh, that's like grounds right for a breakup.
No, you know what? I thank him today. You know why?
Excuse me. I feel like, say it again, please.
No, actually, I thank him today. Maybe he'll listen to this because I'm still in contact with him. Because he told me, and because of that, I never even noticed, right?
Yeah.
And he told me that, and I was like, oh, wow, you're right. Because my wrinkles were coming out.
Wow.
Like, I don't even have the wrinkles now there today. It was, like, right here in the cheek area.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, you're right. And I, like I said, I didn't notice. I think I had a tan addiction, like many people have.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't see that.
But let me ask you this. Didn't you realize just by being in the sun that with your skin tone, you probably will not get tan?
No, you know what? There's no education, first of all, on skin types out there.
There's not. Yeah.
There is
no, but what
nothing.
I mean is you go in the sun once, twice, you realize, hey, you know, I don't tan. I'm just red. Maybe my skin is not.
No, I was always thinking, oh, I need that magic cream, or I need to maybe try more, or I need to, you know, we don't know.
So you were obsessed with it.
Well, many young people are.
Really?
It's so true.
It really? Is. With
when
their skin being
school,
light?
Oh, my God.
And I understand it. You know why? Mm. Because when you're young, you want to look beautiful, you want to get compliments, you're growing, you know, you want to fit in with the crowd, and that's normal, and I understand that.
Right.
And looking back, you know, I always wanted to get new clothes, the prettiest hair, the best makeup.
Right.
And as you get older, you kind of all had it, and then you kind of fade out to become more natural. And
that's right. Good too.
And then you also know you have other things to offer besides your beauty.
Exactly, right? And your skin color, you know. And but what I'm saying is that, you know, as opposed to what you might think, I find light skin sexy. I really do, and many people do, you know.
A lot of people do. And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because when I was in high school, everybody was tanning. It was kind of the fad. And I, yeah, and I went to, and I was the kind of person who had to go in the bed to actually see any results, because really? I'm so light skinned.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it was like before prom 1 year or something, I was tanning. And I just went a couple times, and, you know, I didn't like the sweatiness, and I was like, so I didn't ever go again. But, yeah, I had friends who were addicted to it, and they would put the little sticker on them so that they could, you know, make a little pattern of the wet. I mean, it's just crazy. But, you know, now I'm so glad I didn't, and my agents are like, don't go in the sun, because it's kind of in now to have, like, she's not going to let me for saying this, but it's kind of in now to have, like, really light skin, dark hair, like that kind of thing people like. But
But the California
trends are changing. They go back and
forth. They go back and forth. Yes. Yeah.
Right. But the California look is definitely tan and everything else.
Right.
So people,
sure.
So obviously, maybe in another town, it wouldn't have been as popular.
No, actually,
as
no. It's very popular everywhere.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I mean, I understand there are some countries that do accept or want or love white skinned individuals, like Asian countries in general. Also,
right?
They think why being white or pale looking is like royalty. Mm. But here in America, or even like in any other countries too, like Ireland or in England, it's really big too. Everybody loves to be tan.
Yeah.
And you know, we look just healthier.
Right.
Sure,
and then
true.
Also women, we just feel like we just lost 5 pounds when we are skinnier. And it just, I always say it's the ultimate happy maker.
Yeah.
Because really, once you're tanned, you immediately feel like you just lost weight.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. It is true.
It is true. Wow. I'm telling you, because I see it every day, and I see the smiles. Like, people come in serious, and when they leave after I spray tan them, then I can see the big smile.
Yeah.
Because they look healthier. And I tell you that with me, they always say that too. When I'm pale, yes, they do give me compliments and all of that, but But when I'm tanned, immediately my blue-green eyes come out and everything. And then the people's like, wow, what did you do? And I'm like, I just tanned myself.
Do you do yourself?
Yes,
oh
all the time.
Gosh. Really?
I never need anybody again because like years ago, I remember I used to give my friends free spray tans. Uh-huh. And in exchange for them tanning me, I said, I just need a tan every week. Yeah. And then one time I remember I had an event. And nobody was available. And I was like, oh, my God, I need a tan. I need to go out to this. And nobody wanted to come. And then I said, I was forced to basically try it on my own.
Right.
And I had the guts to do it. But it took me about 2 years, I would say.
Yeah.
And then
practice.
I did it, and I felt really empowered. I was like, wow, I think I can do that all the time. I don't need anybody anymore.
Wow. Oh,
and now, from that point on, I never have asked anybody ever again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You seem to be a very independent person, right?
Well, I had to learn, because coming from Germany, being here on my own, right?
Right.
It's like I had to learn to...
To survive.
To survive
right.
And make a living here. And then, of course, I don't want to just survive. I want
right.
to be thrive. Successful.
Yeah.
That was always my dream. You know, that's kind of how I've seen when I first originally came to America. What inspired me is that America is kind of like everything entrepreneurial. That's kind of how I see everything here.
Yeah, it's individualistic.
And then I see how much easier it is here in America and not in so many like Germany. I don't think it's that easy. And I always used to subscribe to the Entrepreneur magazine. And and even like years back, I wanted to start so many different kind of businesses, but I could never find anything that I really liked. Or I maybe liked it at first. Like one time I was thinking the legal services business. But then I was like, oh, but then I'm in the office all the time and with paperwork and you know, and I'm a people person too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I could never find something that was just like perfect.
Yeah.
And somehow I fell into the airbrush tanning and the bad economy actually in 2008. I had online businesses, and that kind of fell, too, in the economy. And I needed to come up with another idea of what else could I do.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine, she took me to Vegas, I remember. She was saying, Simone, let's just relax. You need to relax, and let's go get a massage and spray tan. And I said, wow, I never had that.
Yeah.
And then I got my first spray tan there, and I was like, wow.
You were hooked.
Immediately. Immediately. And, you know, that was kind of like because I was down because of economy. Everything just, I went through a breakup.
Oh, wow.
And so all of that, you know, like I got the spray tan, and it was instantly a happy maker.
Wow. Yeah.
Instantly. I remember.
See, there you go. I mean, so people should do this. Now, okay, so for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Simone Emmons. Am I pronouncing it correct?
Simone Emmons.
Okay. And so what's the name of your company?
Well, I have two. My local airbrush tanning business is Simone's Airbrush Tanning.
Okay.
And then I also own my training academy, which is Hollywood Airbrush Tanning Academy.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And is that the website too? Can people go and check out more?
Yes, either simonesairbrushtanning.com or HollywoodAirbrushTanningAcademy.com.
Cool. And we'll put the links on our website, too, so you guys can click easily on there. But so Simone does, like, spray tanning, obviously, improving people's self-esteem, self-confidence. And that's what you're telling us. I mean, I
kind of think, like, we are a cheap therapist.
Yeah, there you go, you know.
There you go.
A life coach. You right. only have to do is paint yourself, and you're going to be more confident.
First of all, I know what everybody is going through, because I was going through it, and I still go through it every time when I tan myself. I just feel happy.
Really?
Yes.
Wonderful.
It is just an immediate confidence booster. Plus, it hides cellulite, blue veins.
Wow.
And it just gives you a glow. You look healthy. And that's what people will usually notice. Now, I don't overspray. I do more natural-looking tan because I think that's more in. But I do have other people, too, like models. You know, they come for a photo shoot or bodybuilders, and then they need to be made extremely dark.
Yeah,
right.
I have some friends in the bodybuilding business, and oh my gosh.
They need to be made this dark.
Get so dark.
Yeah.
Right.
So I see how this can come in very handy in many professions too, right? I mean, it's not just people doing it for fun, but obviously it can help them with their career too.
Totally. Well, here in LA, that's a great part. We have a lot of actors, singers, models, right? And that's why I like my area, because it's kind of considered the entertainment area. Studio City, North Hollywood, right?
Sure, yeah. Right.
Everybody from the whole entertainment industry is here. And yes, sometimes they need it for certain parts. Like sometimes I remember I had somebody calling me up, And he said, you know what? I have an audition in an hour and I need to look like a
surfer.
Wow. Yes. So I said, okay, come on in. I'm going to make you look like a surfer.
Whoa.
And it's great. And that's the nice part. But then maybe let's say next week he needs to go for another audition for something else and he needs to be paler, right?
Right.
The great part about the fake tanning is that it washes off every day. Mm. So within a week, you're basically pale again.
Oh, wow.
So it's a maintenance. I mean, many people wish it would last forever or longer, right? Tans usually last between 7 and 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, people wish it would last longer, but a lot of actors, they actually like that because if they need to be paler for a certain part, then,
It's just temporary. It's almost like makeup, you know? Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. So now, so you make it look natural too, right? Unlike Donald Trump. He looks terrible because he doesn't put it around his eyes.
I think what he does, he overdoes it because he has very pale skin, right?
Oh,
when you have pale skin, you cannot put it on top and on top and on top. Because I'm hoping he will listen to this one day.
Because then it turns orange, right?
Exactly. When you overprocess something, right? It builds up and then you overprocess it and that turns orange.
Wow.
And that's why also like some of the spray tanners, they do not understand why sometimes people turn orange.
Right.
Spraying turns people orange.
Yeah.
So you really got to limit the spraying, how much solution you put on them.
Right.
And then also if you do it too frequently, that's over-processing it, and that's why they turn orange.
Right.
He really needed, Donald Trump needs to wait until it's faded out
or
scrub it off. But, you know, I understand he's probably in the public every day, and that's why he needs this. He wants that every day.
Yeah,
right?
He feels he needs it, but I think it makes him look stupid. I really do, you know? It does, you know? And I've noticed that a long time ago, but, you know, because I think
there was just an article yesterday that showed up in Google about this, too. Somebody was giving himself tanning tip
advice.
Yes. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. But, no, so how do you encounter that problem that he has? He doesn't have it around his eyes, and that's how it's easily noticeable. How do you do it, like, around the eyes and everything and the eyelids? Do you?
We spray. I do whatever the client wants and likes. Now, I do offer, and you know, the FDA does recommend that we need to protect the eyes.
Mm,
we do need to protect the mucous membranes. Like, we give them nose filters for the nose, chapstick for the lips. I give cotton for the ears, right? Like, I protect all those internal organs.
Right.
And the eyes, in general, we do have these... you know, like they have in tanning salons too.
Sure.
They're called Winkies.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer that to every client, but most clients decline it.
Really?
I would say. Yes, because they don't want the circus around.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Donald is doing the self tanning cream or he has a spray tanner. I honestly don't know.
Right, but it's obviously not a good job.
Also, he's getting a little bit older and he has the little bags under there.
Right.
So his skin is very pale.
Oh, okay.
And when you rub a lot, you know, I don't know. I don't know
what
he does.
I think it's pinkish. You can tell by his eyes. He's like pinkish color, so maybe he doesn't like that.
And, you know, some people suffer with dark under eyes or, you know.
That's true.
And his issue is probably he's very pale skin.
Right.
Like me, you can see. Mm-hmm. And very pale skin, even when we spray tan them, they will not turn very dark.
Oh, okay.
And that's the you know, a lot of people don't understand skin types, right?
Like, right.
I'm a skin type 1, so I have not much melanin in me. And in general, the melanin would come out when you spray tan them.
Right.
So with many other people, the majority of the skin types are type 3. I turned it on vibration.
Right? Oh, no, it sounded like something vibrated, but I don't know what it was. Anyway, never mind, go on.
Yeah, so with skin type 1s, they can usually not tan very well. And even when we do spray tanning, they are just lightly tanned. They can never get really dark.
Okay,
and
so
I
people
think that's
need to understand that. You tell them ahead of time.
We try to explain it to them so that they don't have false expectations. Because that's sometimes, you know... I don't have that frequently, but a lot of skin types, the very fair skin types, they say, I want to be extremely dark like this person. And I say, well, you can't really with just one spray tan. And that's why also with bodybuilders, sometimes we have to spray them 2 or 3 days in a row, depending on their skin type. Right, in order to get them dark to a certain level.
Right.
And then so self-tanning does not necessarily always work, but bronzers would work. But you have to spray it on like right before.
I
don't think Donald Trump does it like right before spraying with a bronzer because that kind of looks weird too.
Yeah.
If he would do that. And then it could smear and, you know, it's a challenging process for the very fair skinned individuals.
So right. What skin type are we? Can you tell just by looking? Or?
Well, I can ask you. No, not by just looking. And that's the biggest mistake, too, that a lot of people do. Mm. In general, I could tell, but I usually ask you certain questions. Like, for example, you, I would ask you, how do you tan in the natural sun? And do you burn first and then you tan, or you never tan?
Well, I don't ever go in the sun.
Do you remember as a child?
As a child, yeah, as a child, I mean, I would usually just burn.
And you never had...
And go right back to white.
Immediately, like? Okay.
After a couple of days of...
So you've never had a slight tint of a tan?
Only if I go in the tanning bed.
And no matter how much you tried...
It I mean, plateaued if I laid out like every day, yeah.
Did it plateau out at a certain level, or you actually did get a dark tan when you tried hard?
It would go pretty dark, but I mean, I never would go like every day. So
yeah, then you're skin type 3.
Oh, okay.
A skin type 3 basically burns at first, but then after the burn, you actually can tan, because that's telling me you have melanin in your skin. That would actually come out, right? Like the sun would bring it out,
right.
And the self-tanning cream would bring that out too.
Oh,
for me, it was you. You look like you already have a slight tint to you.
Yeah, because and you have from a darker background.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
In general, you would look amazing with a spray tan. Like you would just came back from a beach. Yes.
Really? Well,
you should
come
to visit me.
Yeah, I'm doing that
You'll
for
see.
Sure.
But also, Kelsey, you would look great too, because like I said, that the melanin would just come out and then it tans you and you look great. You'll see amazing. And I bet you nobody would ever be able to tell that you have a fake tan on.
Yeah.
Really?
No,
wow.
Never.
So for those of you just joining us, we're talking about fake tans and you're probably wondering what the hell. But obviously, we have Simone Emmons in the studio. She's the founder of Simone's Airbrush Tanning. And you can go to simonesairbrushtanning.com, and you also have the academy. Now, what can people expect when they come to you and learn about this?
So I developed an entrepreneurial program, basically. It's not just spray tanning. What I wanted to do is teach other people how to have an airbrush tanning a business like me. And, you know, when I first started with it, I had a big vision from the beginning on.
Good.
Because like I said, I saw that there was a need out there for training. You know, there are beauty academies out there where you can learn how to cut hair, how to become an esthetician, but there was absolutely nothing out there with airbrush tanning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I saw the trend, how tanning beds are bad. There are more and more rules and regulations being put in. Even in Australia, they already banned tanning beds, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So the
business
is closed down. Yes. And so I foresee that, I don't know for sure, but maybe you never know how it happens here down the road in USA. So I saw a big need of teaching it. So I launched it in 2008. And the program is also, I'm teaching them how to have the whole business. I'm teaching them what apps I'm using, how I'm marketing myself, how I do everything in the business. And I invite everyone actually to come into my business and learn from me.
Wow.
So I talk about all the different solutions on the market. I talk about where they can buy everything directly. And I don't sell anything.
Right.
I just give the education. Wow. I give the education about the skin types, how you determine somebody's skin type. I teach them about how a skin type would react.
Yeah.
And they're learning all of that, and plus the hands-on part with the models.
Right.
Like we take even the before and after pictures that I hand over to them, so then they can start with their own portfolio and start marketing immediately.
Mm.
And then I hold their hand for another 2-3 months, because I know that's what usually beginners need.
Right.
When they leave the training program. Then they go on their own and start doing it, and then they're learning on their own, and they may have certain issues that happen, and they always have somebody to reach out to, like myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have already people flying in really from all over the world to train with me. So I had students from Canada, even South Korea.
Right now
I'm teaching somebody online. Like after our interview here, I'm going back, and I have a video conference with my student from Morocco.
Wow.
So Morocco wants to bring airbrush tanning over there as well, because they got inspired by the Kardashians.
Oh, oh my gosh.
So they want to bring everything there, but she can't fly over here. So I even have an online training program. So I created also a membership website that has hours and hours and hours of videos that I documented basically in all these years. Yes.
Wow.
And even how to do a mobile tan in somebody's home.
Oh, wow.
And that's the other big trend, right? Because you don't just start with a tanning salon right away. You start doing this mobile because you're saving your biggest expense, which is the rent, right?
Right,
and you know
yeah.
how expensive rent is here in L.A.
Right.
Not maybe in some other cities, but in L.A. it is just very expensive.
Right. And besides, some people probably prefer it for you to come to them because celebrities
love it.
Or
yes.
whatever. Yeah.
Unless
and
you live in the salon.
No.
Some people do, right?
Yes.
Oh, I hope not. No.
That's hilarious.
Yes. No, and that's the biggest trend right now is the mobile, bring the spray tents to the home. And we have the pop-up tent, right? So so people stand in there, and then we spray them within the tent, within the confined area, and nothing goes on their furniture. They don't inhale anything. And that's actually the unique part about my technique that I came up with as I'm teaching a technique in spray tanning where it's a spray-release technique where there's not much overspray around.
Mm. Oh, that's
And
awesome.
That's what people are so surprised about. They'd say, like, wow, I don't see anything. I don't smell anything. Because everything I spray onto the body and I release immediately.
Right. So there's not much left over.
There's not much left over. And that's very difficult to learn. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why you need to come for training.
Okay.
And then also the good part is that the client is immediately dry. And that's what a lot of people go like, oh, my God, I don't feel sticky. And then also I don't smell. And they can go about their day immediately.
Yeah.
And you know, nobody will know that you have a fake tan.
Yeah.
And you're dry. There's nothing that rubs off on a couch or, you know.
Right. That's great, you know, because that's been like my reason for not trying this is because I thought it's going to smear all over.
No.
It's going to look fake, blah, blah, blah.
With some spray tanners, yes. But this is exactly why. That's the unique part about my technique that I teach them step by step. Mm. And you actually have to process and train their brain first. You know, it's also kind of like I train them a certain routine and I drill it into them. It's kind of like when you're driving with a car, right? Later on, automatically, you know, on red, you stop. On green, you're driving. You can handle phone calls while you're driving, but automatically, your subconscious mind knows how to drive around while you're talking.
That's true. That's true.
And that's what we are doing also. We are drilling a certain technique into the head.
Right.
And that's why me having all the videos in the video membership site is so helpful because they can always go back to it and try and watch it again and again and again, and it goes into their subconscious mind.
Sounds good. So those videos are part of the training, right?
I have an online membership website that all my students have access to. Yes.
Okay,
and
good.
And they go in there again and again. So there's a video about how to fold the tent, how to clean the gun, the technique.
Oh, wow.
Sounds
just
great.
Even how to do a mobile tan. I have one specific video where I went to somebody's house to do a mobile tan.
Oh, okay, cool. Uh-huh. So you guys can see if you're unemployed mainly and you want to find a new business to do, you know, you go to Simone and she'll get you going. It sounds like, you know, a very cool business, you know, I mean, and you probably get a lot of demand for it. Like
In
LA,
all over the world.
Places where there's not
right
a lot
now,
of
now, I can't even handle all the phone calls, and that's why I'm desperate to even train some of my other students to become trainers. Now, I have one trainer already in Connecticut, so I have two locations. I have LA and Connecticut, so she's training, I'm training. And I'm hoping to inspire more individuals, more of my 300-plus students to become more trainers. But sometimes, you know, a lot of them, they worry first. First, they want to establish their own business.
Right.
Sure.
And then, you know, because they are a little bit afraid that they're training their competition within their city, which I understand, too. And that's why I wait until they have enough business, and then later on they maybe want to become trainers.
Right. Very cool. Okay, well, we're just about out of time. Simone, give everybody your websites, how they can get a hold of you. And so you have the two websites. Go ahead.
The training academy is HollywoodAirbrushTanningAcademy.com. But I have information also by going to SimonesAirbrushTanning.com.
Okay, great. So the Simone's one is if they want to get
it's
a tan
for the
from
local,
you.
Mm-hmm, local business.
Right. And the other one is for people that want to train and start their own business.
Yes, and it's very affordable to start, basically.
Really? Cool.
It's one of the most affordable business out there. I can't believe that that I don't have millions of people approaching me.
No, I was thinking about it because really you don't have a lot of – you don't have to invest a lot, right?
No,
if you do it mobile in the beginning, you don't have to invest a lot.
No, and that's the great part
about
it. And it's the most popular beauty treatment on the market right now.
Wow.
Because it's very quick, very affordable, and people want that instant gratification, that immediately feeling happy, sexy.
Yeah.
Like losing weight and like all of that.
Yeah, I need to feel happy and sexy, so I'm going to come to
you. I'll take it.
Whatever the next show we'll make, I'll invite you guys.
Yeah.
We'll tan you.
Great.
And then you can talk about your experience and how you feel.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Simone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're full of information, a lot of fun, and we wish you much success with everything you do, really.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
I
you seem to be
it.
On the right track, and you're taking advantage of the American way. You're succeeding on your own.
And I'm giving back. I would like to always give back to others as well.
There you go. Thanks again. Thank you, Kelsey.
Yeah.
As always, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.